Mina, can you explain in your own words what a bat flip actually is?
So, normally, when a baseball player has a big hit, he just kind of gently lays down his bat, right, and continues on his way down the base path. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes a hitter is very proud, and he or she will watch the ball take off, and sometimes they'll pause, sometimes they'll do this while they're running, but instead of gently laying down the bat, they will launch it into space. There are many different ways of doing this. It can be a flick of the wrist. It can be a throw, a defiant hurl, perhaps. The bat can travel a few feet. The bat can travel very far, but often it sort of twirls through the air and majestically like a baton. And that's what a bat flip is. It's almost like spiking a football, Pablo. It's a celebratory gesture. And as you know, this is something that is taboo in the United States. In Major League Baseball, it violates the unwritten rules, and executing this maneuver will often result in a hitter getting drilled the next time he's up. But in Korea, bat flips are not only accepted, they're also extremely common.
That was our own Mina Kimes describing a unique feature of baseball in Korea, the bat flip. The Korean baseball season has been a success, trucking through the summer months and entering its home stretch, with games continuing to air on ESPN early every morning. And if you've been watching, you've definitely seen a bat or two flip and fly through the air after a swing. So this Labor Day, we're sharing, once again, my favorite story Mina Kimes has ever reported on why Korean players love to flip their bats and how it all started. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, September 7th. This is ESPN Daily.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I feel in insane power right now.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Mina Kimes is a senior writer for ESPN, an NFL analyst on NFL Live, and yeah, the former host of this podcast. I am the captain now. You will feel how I want you to feel, I think, is how this works.
People can't see this, but Pablo is doing the thing where he points his fingers at his eyes and then he's pointing them at my eyes. And it's very upsetting.
So, Mina, how did the story, which I love so much, actually come about?
Well, it was, I think, the spring or early summer of 2016, which is important because we are coming off of the 2015 MLB playoffs, where, as I'm sure you will remember, Joey Bautista flipped his bat, which feels almost like I'm understating what he did after a home run in the ALDS. It was between the Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers, and there was much hand-wringing and commentary and debate as a result of that.
Critics called the bat flip disrespectful, not only to the opposing pitcher, but to the game in general.
If I were a player, I wouldn't do that. The fact of the matter is, what he did not offend me.
You just don't sit there and flip your bat, especially in the seventh inning.
But throughout this time and before that, there were these videos of bat flips coming from Korea, right? Where Korean baseball players were flipping their bats as defiantly as Bautista and with great joy and style and panache. And these videos had gone viral in social media.
잡아 당겼습니다. 좌측 라인 안쪽 넘어갔습니다.
갑니다!
So I started looking into it a little bit. There was an account on Twitter, a website called MyKBO, run by a Korean-American guy named Dan Kurtz. And so he was sending them out and then they would go viral. You know, I asked him kind of how he got into it. He used to live in Korea. He was a huge KBO fan, the Korean baseball organization. But then I asked him, okay, so why? Why are they so common in Korea? Why is this normal there? Why are guys not getting drilled in the head? And he didn't know. And I was super intrigued by that. So I got in touch with another Korean baseball expert, a commentator for the KBO named Daniel Kim, who is based in Korea. And he had so many great stories about bat flips and what, you know, they meant there and how they were so common. But he also didn't know why or where it started. And he told me, you know, you should just come here and figure it out. So that's what I did.
So you actually go to Korea. And this, I remember it sounding like one of the great expense report boondoggles ever. But you actually go to Korea with Mickey and your story begins in Busan, right? And so what do you actually find when you travel across the ocean and get there?
So we went to Busan, which is a extremely large seaside city on the southern tip of South Korea. So they have a very popular KBO team, the Lotte Giants. And the first thing we do is we go to a game at Sajik Stadium, and it was revelatory. Korean baseball, it is just crazy crowds. They're much younger than American crowds, and they are cheering and dancing and going nuts. And they're drinking beer, and well, I guess that's not so different. There are all these events. There are cheerleaders. There's a cheer master, and they're standing on a platform, and it's just so much fun. There was an American fan Mickey and I met at that first game, Nikkari Maher, and he told us MLB is like opera and KBO is like rock and roll. So we're there and we're having a great time, and all of a sudden, this player who I had seen before because I had seen videos of his bat flips, his name was Choi Jun-suk, and Pablo, he is enormous. That's just the only way to describe it. He is an enormous human being. So he comes out, and his song is LMFAO Shots, just for not. I remember that so vividly. And the crowd's going crazy, and they have their dance for him, which has finger guns. And he comes out and he hits a grounder and he flips his bat. And I am like, well, that's embarrassing, right? And then he goes back to the dugout and nothing happens. Nobody reacts. It's not a big deal. He flips his bat and he continues about his business.
Wait, so this absolute unit of a Korean ends up bat flipping on a thing that no American would dare to bat flip after. So bat flips aren't just after home runs in Korea?
No, that was the big discovery of this first game. There were bat flips after big hits, but there were also bat flips after routine hits, bat flips after outs. And not only are the players not embarrassed and the fans not reacting, the pitchers don't react. And that, of course, is a major contrast to American baseball.
So you stick around and you came back to the stadium the next day after all of this, and you asked the players why then they were actually doing all of this flipping. And what did you find out?
So that's when it got a little weird. The first player I talked to was an American player named Josh Lindblom, who every Korean roster can have three foreign players, and they usually do, and often they're pitchers. So this is a guy who had been playing. I think he was drafted by the Dodgers, and he had been in the U.S. before coming to Korea. Very common thing with American players. And I asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, it just happens all the time there. He's like, somebody told me, hey, don't make a big deal about this. But he had no idea why. And then I finally get to interview the big man himself, Choi, and I ask him, are you doing this on purpose? He says, no. I said, are you doing it for your fans? He says, no. And I asked him, are you aware that like these videos of you have gone viral in the U.S. and people really like them? And he says no.
So everyone is denying it.
Yes, everybody is denying it. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm crazy or there's a cover up or something is happening. And then I meet up with an American pitcher who was a scout for Lotte. And he was a guy I'd been in touch with before I came to Korea because he had also played in Major League Baseball. His name is Ryan Sadowski. So we go out to lunch, him, Mickey, and I. And he explains to me, you know, coming up in the U.S. and being tracked to play in MLB, I was always taught you're not supposed to enjoy your success and celebrate. And I learned here, it's okay. You're not going to get punished for it. And I think that's wonderful. And I ask him, well, why are they all denying it then? And he said to me, well, they're not going to admit to an American reporter that they're doing it on purpose.
So, okay, wait. So this expense report is now building. You're getting lunch. You're going to various cities. You're going to games. But the Korean players keep on telling you they are not doing this on purpose. So at this point, what is your next move?
Well, first, my next move was to continue eating incredibly delicious and exorbitant Korean lunches. Mickey and I decide, let's watch Kits. If you ever watched the Little League World Series, Pablo, which is so sadly not happening this year, one, you'll see the Koreans dominate. They win a lot. They're really good because they're super serious about it. But they also flip their bats, right? Like in the Little League World Series, you will see Korean children also flipping their bats, which if we're going to figure out, is this a learned behavior or is it cultural or where does it come from? We go to a practice and we end up interviewing a kid and he was so adorable. And, you know, with the help of my translator, I ask him, well, like, do you like flipping your bat? Like, how do you do it? And he tells me, well, I'm a big fan of this player, Ojewon, who plays for the Doosan Bears. And he flips his bat. So I want to look like him. And he sort of demonstrates for me what that looks like.
Okay, so it's definitely a learned behavior. But at this point, we still don't know why the players themselves are doing it.
Right. So the kids tell me, well, we're trying to copy these KBO players. But at this point, the KBO players I've spoken to have denied that they're doing it on purpose. And I finally meet someone who in Korean baseball who tells me it's not a reflex and it's the kid's coach. His name is Kim Geun-woo. And we sit down while the kids are practicing, and he has a long history of he was a player for the KBO, and he's been around the league forever. And he tells me about the history of baseball in Korea, which is just so great because, of course, right, it's the coach who sits down and, you know, he pulls up a chair and he's like, let me tell you about how this all started. And how it all started was in the early 20th century. Korea actually first learned about baseball through an American missionary who introduced it at a local YMCA when the Japanese occupied Korea. And the baseball was already tremendously popular in Japan. So it becomes even more serious business in Korea and continues to flourish after World War II. The KBO itself is created in 1982. And it's around this time that Koreans get really good at baseball. There's a truly important moment in the history of the sport in Korea when their national team plays Japan, the former occupiers, at a tournament and they win, right? And that for Koreans is just this moment of national pride. The sport itself hasn't really developed its own culture until, and this is all, I want you to imagine this wizened old baseball coach sitting in a lawn chair explaining, wearing a bucket hat, explaining this all to me. Until the early 1990s, when a player comes along who, as the coach says, refused to mold. I don't know how I would describe him other than saying he had swag. He was brave and loud and didn't care about norms, and he was an incredible slugger. His nickname was God, Pablo, which is appropriate because, according to the coach, he was the godfather of Korean bat flipping.
But wait a minute. So who is God? Who is this dude?
His name was Yang Jin-hyuk, and he was the first player to flip his bat.
After the break, Mina talks to the godfather of bat flipping. and discovers why some players find bat flips to be disrespectful.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
So you find your originator of bat flipping, and his name is Yan Jun Hyuk. Were you able to actually find him?
Yes. So with the help of our fixer, we get an address, and it's a small office in Gangnam, which is a ritzy area in Seoul.
From the song.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style. Yeah, from the song. But this is nothing like the song. It's not glamorous. It's not ritzy. We get led to an alley, and there's like a karaoke bar and some old guys smoking, and there's no signs with his name, and I'm convinced we're at the wrong place. But we have the number for the address, so we go inside. We walk up a bunch of stairs, and this guy comes out, and he's pretty large, and he looks kind of like a former ball player, and he gives me a business card, and it says Yan Jun Hyuk, and on the back are all of his hitting records, which is just an amazing thing to have. So we know that we have our man.
So after reviewing his business card and being very impressed, what does he actually tell you?
So he pretty much confirms everything that the Little League coach tells us. When he entered the KBO in 1993, the league was still modeled after Japanese baseball. There was a strong emphasis on modesty and rigorous systems, but he frankly didn't care, right? Like he showed up with he had his ear pierced, and he says the fans hated him. He told me they threw ramen soup at him whenever he celebrated.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he doesn't even know why he would flip his bat. And he would sort of flip it and then raise his hands in the air like a referee making a touchdown sign. He didn't have an explanation. He just said it felt good when he did it. And he tells me, you know, I always delivered on my goals, so nobody could kind of say anything to me. And he did it. And then he remembers other players started doing it too. And you know, by the 1990s, he said at least 10 hitters were doing it. And it was around this time, Paolo, you know, baseball starts taking off in Korea after he's retired. In 2008, they won gold at the Olympics. And when that happens, the KBO's popularity just takes off. And when we were there in 2016, it had been growing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Korean baseball has this incredibly rich and proud history, and clearly bat flipping ends up being one way they sort of carve out a different path from Japan, which is so important for all the geopolitical reasons that you alluded to. So why were the players so reticent to talk about this?
So that was kind of the second mystery I had to solve. The first was, why do they do it? Okay, we figured out where it all began, right? But I didn't understand why they didn't want to tell me about it, aside from me being an American. Somebody advised me to talk to another player, Hong Sung-hun, who was a veteran power hitter with the Doosan Bears, who, by the way, have a phenomenal logo, in play in Jomsil Stadium in Seoul. So we find him, and I remember very vividly seeing him for the first time and immediately understanding why I had been advised to talk to him, because he was wearing a muscle tee that said Big Bopper, and his hair was dyed copper. And he, similarly to Yang Jin-hyuk, clearly didn't care about norms. While the other players in Busan had told me, it's a reflex and I'm not doing this for the fans, Hung is like, yeah, I do this for the fans. They love it. And it feels great. But he also tells me something I found really interesting, which is that Korean players don't have the same unwritten rules as Major League Baseball, which he's very much aware of. So they can do things like this and not face retribution. I should say, the KBO does have their own sort of unwritten rules. For example, if a pitcher accidentally hits an older hitter, he takes off his hat and bows. They don't enforce them the same way. I had a chance to speak to Chan Ho Park, who is, of course, the legendary Korean, well, he's legendary amongst Koreans, pitcher who went to the Dodgers early on, around the same time that some of these guys were playing. And when he came back from MLB to Korea, he played a few years in KBO. He was, I don't want to say disgusted. He told me, he was like, what are you guys doing? Flipping your bats? Showing no respect? He had been impacted by the time he spent pitching in the States. And he told his player, he was with the Hanwha Eagles, he told them, you got to show more respect and focus on winning. Basically, he was bringing the unwritten rules back with him.
So is all that why they didn't want to tell you about this stuff?
I think it factors into it, right? I mean, every KBO player I met was aware that bat flips were taboo in the U.S. One of them even told me, oh, they're illegal there. And yeah, and it was kind of sad. I mean, I remember one of the players told me, I didn't even know this was bad until an American player came here and told me it was bad. There's a bit of pride and I think concern that you're here to mock this tradition and, you know, hold it by the standards of Major League Baseball.
So is there a risk that this awareness via the internet and also maybe via American players now actually playing in Korea, is there a risk that all that could lead to a change ultimately in this tradition?
It's a concern, and it's like a risk that applies to any sport in any country when globalization impacts it, right? I mean, in recent years, Pablo, Korean baseball has become more like MLB in a few ways. And some of them, according to the coaches and players, are really for the better. There's changes in training. There's more emphasis on strength. But there are other things. I think when you go to Korea and you see the baseball games there and you get to sit in the stands and experience the joy and fun of it, you hope that's protected and you hope it doesn't change. But I think there's a lot that we could learn about the way baseball is played in Korea.
All right, Mina, that was pretty painless. You didn't throw ramen at me. I'm a pretty good steward of your podcast, it turns out.
You were so good, you should take your microphone and flip it.
All right, let me do that right now.
Oh, don't do it.
All right, that's all for today's show. From me and Mina both, I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. Enjoy this Labor Day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.